We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
The Chicago Bulls select Kobe White.
LaVine with the runway.
Get up or get out the way, Trae Young.
Welcome to Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. We're part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm Ricky O'Donnell. As always, I'm here with Jason Pat. Jason, you've been in the suburbs for like a week now. How is it? Are you hanging in there, bud?
It's totally fine. I actually took the train to the city last night for a lovely little get-together with some friends. And then took a depressing train ride back through a thunderstorm. So that was thrilling stuff. But overall, it's been fine. So that's all good.
Not too much going on with the Bulls these days. Bulls still sort of in a holding pattern, sort of waiting on the Lauri Markkanen situation to resolve itself. Markkanen remains under team control for now. There's been some rumors of potential sign-and-trade destinations, nothing really in the last few days. But the Bulls have reportedly been steadfast in wanting a first-round pick in exchange for him. I feel like until we know what's going to happen with Markkanen, the rest of the Bulls' bench is sort of feels unfinished. Now, the league in general, there hasn't been many moves recently at all. Like, I think the last major free agency thing was, Josh Hart signing a week ago. The majority of the players in free agency are already signed. So looking at the Bulls roster right now, Jace, I think that they definitely could use added depth at the three and the four, right? Like, they need some more depth on the bench at the forward spots. Paul Millsap is a guy who's still out there. There's a few other guys, you know, on the open market, but mostly, I think they're waiting to see what's going to happen with Markkanen. Are they going to get some players back for him? Are they going to keep him? That's the big storyline around the team right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned Millsap. I know Jake Fish over at Bleacher Report wrote about his situation, talking about how he might even like take until like going into the season before he picks somewhere. He talked about that with him and J.J. Redick. Not that Redick is a Bulls target, but Millsap we've talked about for a while. I mean, I guess I could understand that. Like, if no one's going to really pay him what he's looking for at this point, maybe he just takes, basically just kind of takes some extra time, rests his legs up, joins a team in the start of the season. Maybe he does that. We'll see. In terms of the Lowry thing, though, for this pod today, we wanted to do a Twitter Q&A. We took a bunch of people's questions, and we actually did get a question about Lowry. So let's just kind of go right into that, into these questions with this question from, this is from at Tom, I'm not sure how to say his last name, Nasher. This is TNAC23. Can the Bulls still sign Lowry on a long-term deal close to what they offered last year? Wouldn't this be the best asset management strategy? I believe we also saw our guy Kevin Farragut talking about this idea of like, maybe they should just go offer Lowry like a 3-4 year deal, like at 12, 13 million a year, see if he, because like, no, it seems like no one's offering that kind of thing right now. For me, like, I don't know if I'd want to commit 4 years, but I know we were also talking in our little group chat that we have about maybe you offer him like a 2 year deal. I think that's what Nico got a few years, like when his last deal with the Bulls was like 2 years, like 24, 25 million. It was something, I can't remember exactly what it was, but what do you think of like, instead of offering maybe a couple, 2 or 3 year deal to Lowry, or obviously you can also see if he decides the qualifying offer. But basically, you'd offer him this contract. You say, like, hey, we'll look to trade you possibly. So you have him locked in for a couple of years, and you can maybe get something back for him. How do you feel about that? Or do you just want to try to move on? Because, you know, he's talked about how he wants to move on. And I know Casey wrote in his recent mailbag how it just doesn't seem like it would make much sense to have him back when he doesn't really want to be here. What do you think about possibly trying to offer Lowry longer, something more than just the qualifying offer?
For sure. I mean, my first concern is that right now the Bulls have some really good vibes going on the team, and Markkanen is just going to ruin those good vibes. Like, he's just going to feel like a relic of a past era. He's not going to be happy in his role. The team will have moved on from him as a former cornerstone. So, in general, I sort of want him off the team. I mean, it's not just vibe-based, but also I don't think he's a particularly good fit with the rest of the starters. I don't think you could play him at the four next to Vucevic in lineups, because those lineups won't have enough defensive resistance in the paint. I don't think you could slide him to five and play him with Pat, because he's too soft to play the five. We've seen this time and time again. Guards are able to power through him at the rim, you know, move him off his spot. He offers very little in the way of rim protection, despite being a seven-footer. But at this point, the Bulls just need talent, right? Like, the bench is pretty weak, especially at the position he plays. And yeah, Markkanen might be seen mostly as a five, maybe, around the league, but the Bulls have Tony Bradley on a one-year minimum deal there. At the three, they have Troy Brown, who's still, you know, pretty unproven. I've always liked Troy Brown, but it's hard to count on him as being, like, a dependable contributor on the bench. So you need another, you know, another guy at the three or the four. So Markkanen's sort of a 4-5 combo, obviously 7-footer who can space the floor, who can hit a catch-and-shoot shot. That's valuable. I think that with the way the Bulls are going to want to play this year, it's going to be a lot of ball movement, a lot of swinging the ball. Like, before, where Markkanen was struggling was, like, trying to create off the bounce, and he's not going to be put in those situations this year if he were to come back. So just from a pure talent perspective, I would take Markkanen back. You know, I would probably not do anything more than a two-year deal. Maybe 2 years in a player option, something that would allow him to, like, get back into the open market. That could be appealing to him. I still don't think he's going to be in the long-term future of the franchise, but just given what's out there on the market right now, it might not be a terrible idea to bring him back. I would still prefer a trade, but, like, they need bodies at that spot, and he might be, you know, reasonably the best guy on the board at this point.
Right, yeah, and there were the rumors out there about, like, Maxi Kleba from the Mavs, which would, like, be, like, an ideal scenario there, but, like, I just don't know how, like, realistic that actually is at this point. And, like, we have both talked about how, like, we want Lowry, like, we're done with him, but, like, definitely done with him as, like, a cornerstone, like, guy you're relying on. Like, could I be fine with him back on a short-term deal, on the qualifying offer? Like you said, with the depth issues in the front court right now, like, I can absolutely talk myself into that. Like, as long as we're not expecting him just put up, be a 20-point-per-game guy playing 30, 35 minutes, if he's playing 20 minutes a game as a backup off the bench and hitting 40% from three, I can live with this. I can live with this his flaws, because otherwise, you said, like, I don't want to rely on Marko Stojanovic right now. Like, I wasn't that impressed in summer league. Like, maybe he'll end up being good, but, like, Lowry's more proven player than him right now, and I would expect more from him. Like, you're trying to win this year. Like, I'd probably rather play Lowry over him right now. So, yeah, absolutely. We'll see what happens with Lowry. We've been waiting for, like, a few weeks now, which has literally been, like, nothing out there happening. Before we move on to our next Twitter question, DeAndre, you wanted to have a comment question, so you are up. Fire away.
Yeah, how's it going, fellas? Good to be a part of the Bulls. It's good to be having a nothing but Bulls thing here. My thing is, with this whole Lowry thing here, this is just me personally. I don't want him back just off the simple fact of he did come out saying, I don't want to be here. And now all of a sudden nobody wants to give you the contract that you want, even though you haven't earned it. That's just my opinion. But, like, Now you have no other option but to either accept that qualifying offer, take less than the qualifying offer, or just flat out don't play. Because the time for us to extend it has already passed, and we still have the leverage on whether or not somebody else will do it in a sign and trade.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Is this just like a weird situation, especially because he did come out and say, like, I don't want to be here. And like I said, that's what KC wrote about. And you mentioned the leverage stuff. Like, yeah, the Bulls are like holding out because like if they want to get like they want a first round pick and like no bad money, back, whatever bad money is. Like, I don't even know what bad money would actually come back. Like, I feel like if they could get a first and they took a contract on pass and like whatever this season, I'd be fine with that. If you're getting any type of asset out of a large head, whether it's a first, it would be better probably to get a player right now. That probably would be more ideal. But like whatever, if you either a player or a first, like I could take on a little quote unquote bad money or whatever. But yeah, I mean, especially the fact that he came out and said it. I want to be somewhere else. It is tough. Like the whole like the vibes thing that Ricky was talking about. It's like it would be tough to kind of bring him back. So like I don't know. It is a weird situation right now.
I mean, if y'all don't mind, Joe did ask what y'all think of Lonzo's role on the thing. I know y'all got a show to do, but I just want to answer his question. Just my opinion. He's that facilitator that we desperately needed to not only let Zach LaVine play off the ball sometimes, to where he can play off ball and do the catch and shoot like he wants to, but also when it comes to like the half court game, he's really what we've been missing. Now we've been pushing Kobe White to do that, but that's not really Kobe White's game. He's more of a catch and shoot off the bench type role point guard, but we've been pushing him to play that point guard and he can't do it like that. So that's the reason we got. That's the reason why we really got Lonzo, and to some extent, that's the reason we got DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan good at half court. He's good at half court and really transition, but he's more out of a half court, whereas Lonzo's more in transition. But he's young, 23. He's been wanting to play for the Bulls for a while. We had eyes on him for. Not just this trade deadline. We had our eyes on him since last year.
Yep, it's been a while. DeAndre, thank you so much for your comments, questions. Good stuff.
Appreciate
there, man. We will talk about Lonzo here. We can get Joe up here for a second as well. Hold on. He asked the question about Lonzo. We'll let him speak for a second here. And we had another Lonzo question on Twitter as well, so this will be perfect. We'll transition to that too. Joe, go ahead.
Thanks, guys, for inviting me. And thank you, DeAndre, for answering the question. I'm going to be honest. I'm a huge Lonzo Ball fan. I've been following him since, you know, he was in overtime and the highlights and whatnot all through UCLA and obviously as a Laker as well. I just think the potential is through the roof. If he can decide to do certain things with his game that he hasn't been doing in the past. I'm not going to lie. As a Lonzo Ball fan, the DeMar DeRozan signing, you know, kind of made me feel like, well, are they going to make him back into a 3-and-D guy? Because we've been seeing DeMar be more of a facilitator lately, especially as a Spur. Or do they view him as a, you know, that kind of that pure point guard who can really run the show, because his floor game it has potential to be high, right? You are going to have those games where he's turning the ball over though sometimes, and maybe he can grow out of that. But I just kind of wanted to hear from you guys because, you know, I'll be honest, when Zach LaVine first got to the Bulls, I was really low on him. You know, I was one of those people that did not see us matching that offer that the Kings gave him.
Yep.
But he's blossomed, over these last 4 years. And I think Lonzo has the ability to do something similar now that he's in a comfortable situation. So just go ahead and give me, you know, what you guys think Lonzo's role will be and, you know, kind of touch on what you think his ceiling could be.
So
I take this one first, and then I'll kick it.
Go ahead.
So I think, like, when you're talking about what is a pure point guard in the modern NBA, I feel like what you need that guy to do is be able to break down the initial line of defense, get the ball to the basket, right? Like, put 2 feet in the paint and force the defense to rotate so that someone's open and you can trigger your ball movement, you know, pass, 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 get an open shot, drive and kick offense. And I think that that is sort of where Lonzo comes up a little short. Like, the shortcoming in his game, to me, is just in his athletic profile. I don't think that he's a particularly, like, powerful or flexible athlete. And where he struggles, I think, is like breaking guys down off the dribble and forcing the defense to rotate. So that's why he's not exactly a pure point guard, in my opinion. But I do get what you're saying, that like part of the appeal of him coming to Chicago was probably playing with the ball in his hands more often. LaVine is about as classic of a two guard as you're going to find in the entire league, right? Like, he's not exactly what they call like a heliocentric player, like a James Harden or Luka Doncic type, who's just going to, you know, hold the ball for the majority of the offensive possession. That's not his game. Like, he's mostly a bucket getter and a scorer and a secondary initiator. So the Bulls do definitely have an opportunity, I think, for Lonzo to take on some of those opportunities. But as you mentioned as well, that's been DeRozan's game lately. Like, DeRozan is really good still at creating advantages in the half court. And credit DeRozan, because he's become an awesome mid-range shooter off the dribble and a really good passer. Like, you know, 7 assists a game last year. That's been the big area of growth in his game over the last couple of years since going from Toronto to San Antonio. So totally understand that you think that Lonzo can, like, shoulder a little bit more natural playmaking duties and natural just, like, lead engine of the offense duties. And I'm a bit skeptical of that just because I don't know if he's the type of athlete who's going to like break guys down off the dribble, but I'm definitely open to it and they should give him opportunities to do it. The thing is that the starters aren't going to be playing all 48 minutes together, right? Like, there's going to be some opportunities, I think, for Lonzo to run with the second unit and to act as more of a lead engine if Billy Donovan thinks he can do that. But just in general, I think that the Bulls are very much going to go with like, pass heavy sharing the ball offense, where it's not just going to be like Zach with the ball dribbling between his legs for 8 seconds on the shot clock or DeRozan doing the same thing. I think what you're going to see is like drive and kick, swing the ball. You're going to have a ton of shooting on this team. Everyone but DeRozan is a threat to space the floor and knock down an open jumper. So to me, given Zach's strides as a passer and playmaker last year, DeRozan's strides as a passer and playmaker over the last couple years, Vucevic being a really good passer, I didn't really anticipate that from him when he came over in the trade deadline. I think you're going to see a ball movement heavy offense rather than one that is super dependent on one guy initiating every time down the floor. But I think you raised some great points on, like, you know, Lonzo probably did want to act as more of a true point guard, and perhaps he does have some more potential, like given his pedigree as a great recruit and a top draft pick and what he's shown a little bit throughout the young part of his career. But, you know, to me, I would say that the roles in basketball have sort of changed as the game has evolved over the last 10 years specifically. And now, like, what I always call Lonzo is sort of a connecting piece, like someone who can, like, keep the ball moving, space the floor, impact the game without needing to hold the ball. That's where I see him being really good and what his special talent is. So I guess that's just sort of how I see it. What do you think, Jason, just in terms of, like, Lonzo initiating the offense in the half court more often this season?
Yeah, first of all, I want to give a shout out to – we almost got the same exact question from a guy on Twitter, at that guy Murphy. He said, do you think Lonzo gets the chance to orchestrate the offense with the starting lineup? I mean, I think he will get the chance somewhat, but I think I tend to agree with you that he's not going to be like, I mean, Zach needs the ball, DeRozan needs the ball, so there will be more of a sharing thing. And I want to bring up Casey again in his mailbag, and because they asked about, somebody asked him about just like people needing to sacrifice, and like they're going to have to sacrifice. And Casey brought up how he's heard the Bulls want to play faster and that Lonzo will be a key part in pushing pace. And we know that that is one of Lonzo's strengths, is getting out in transition, his passing in transition. And when you have guys like Zach and like athletic dudes like him, and you have a young dude in Patrick Williams, you have DeRozan, guys like that. I mean, the Bulls should be getting out and running. Kobe White, when he's healthy, the Bulls should be getting out and running and trying to dunk all over people and launch threes, because they have a guy like Lonzo who can kind of lead the break like that, and Zach and these other guys as well. So, yeah, like I definitely share the skepticism about him like being like a dominant half court, whatever, like facilitator type that just doesn't seem to be his thing. He doesn't get to the line much, struggles to finish sometimes, but I think he's going to be huge in terms of just like how they initiate their offense and how they get out in transition. Because like I said, that was always one of his biggest strengths, was the transition stuff. And the Bulls should be looking to push that pace, and that's how they should be looking to do a lot of their offense. And they should be a really exciting team because of it. Joe, if you have anything else, we'll definitely let you if you have any other comments on this. Otherwise, we will move on.
No, that's great feedback, guys. I really appreciate that. We're really going to see how good Billy Donovan is, and I think he's a really good coach. But this is a team that has a lot of talent, and I think he has a lot to do to figure out how to make this work. You know what you said, Jason. I think that was you about the ball movement. That's music to my ears. I would love to see a very robust offense where you know the ball rarely touches the ground and there's a ton of passing and shooting. So I'm hoping that all of that comes to fruition and you know the Bulls have a really good season. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. Thank you for your comments, man. Good stuff.
Yeah, fully agree on Billy Donovan too, man. Like the Bulls are in a spot in the league right now, just like in a tier in the league where coaching and injuries are going to be like the two things that really like elevate teams up or move them down the standings. So I think Donovan's got a lot of pressure on him this year. I'm optimistic about him too, but I'm excited to see how it plays out.
Yeah, I mean, even looking, you talk about like the tiers and stuff like that. Like I'm seeing some like recent power rankings. Like I think ESPN had them 19th. I just saw NBA.com, John Schumann has them 8th in the East. A lot of people still, I think, have the skepticism. And I know I commented on Twitter the other day that, like, and I get it. Like, the Bulls have been bad for a few years. I know this is a very different team, but a lot of people just, like, are, while they like, I guess a lot of people are not the biggest fans of the DeRozan move and what they did to get him. Still, obviously, an influx of talent there. But a lot of people, while they do have this influx of talent, are still curious to see how it all comes together, and that's where how Billy figuring out how this works and how they do mesh could be a difference between if they're 8th or 9th in the East or if they can somehow get to that higher end outcome of like 4th or 5th. So it'll be very interesting to see.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Our guy Rio.
What's up, Rio?
What do you got for us today? Rio, are you here with us?
Hey, what's up, guys?
There he is. All right.
Jason, Ricky, what's up, guys? Hey, I was just listening to you guys talk about Lonzo and the offense, and I was just thinking to myself, if the Paw can continue to progress this season and take advantage of the larger, slower power forwards, that's going to open up so many doors on offense for these guys. Now, I was just wondering, what did you guys think about that?
Ricky, want to take this one? Pat?
Yeah, I think that it's going to be really interesting for Patrick Williams. If you could mute just for a second, Rio, because I'm getting back on yours. All good. All good. Thanks for the question. I think you're dead on that Patrick Williams is a huge role, right? Like, Pat is the one guy who still has a lot of upside left in his game. I do think you could say that about Lonzo, too, because he is only entering, his 5th year? Still super young, obviously. I do think Lonzo has some upside in his game, but Pat is a ton, right? Because last year he made all these starts. He drew all these super tough defensive assignments. He was relatively durable. He has the physical tools. He shot 39% from 3. But basically his entire status as a promising prospect is based on flashes in a lot of different areas, right? Like flashes of shooting, flashes of shot creation in the half court, flashes of rim protection defensively, and of being able to force turnovers at the nail and all these things. But You know, if you just look at the numbers, he wasn't a very good player last year by impact. And that impact showed up on the tape, too, if you were watching the games. Now, that's okay. He was the youngest player in the league. By the way, today's Pat Williams' birthday. Happy 20th birthday to Patrick.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he's in a fascinating situation entering this season because I could easily see him in another really low-usage offensive role like he was last year when, you know, I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but I think he had like a 13 or 14% usage.
Very low.
Super low. I think ideally the Bulls want to sort of mold him into someone like Mikal Bridges, who also had a super low usage rate this year for Phoenix, but Bridges was awesome in the playoffs. He was awesome the entire regular season, just as a guy who was a super versatile defender, brought length, you know, could get you out in transition. He's a really good transition offensive player, Mikal is. And then he would space the floor and knock down jumpers, and he wasn't really asked to create too much because he had Chris Paul and Devin Booker creating most of the offense, and then campaign doing it on second units. What a world. Still hard to believe. So I would love to see Pat level up. I think the best way for Pat to level up is to get his kicks in on the second unit. Like,
yep. I
think like the obvious lineup change you could make, first sub, take Pat off, put Caruso in, slide DeRozan to the four, and then play the starters basically with Caruso without Pat. And then when you put Pat back in on the second unit, let Pat handle the ball. Let Pat, like, be the go-to guy, sort of the role we saw him play a little bit in summer league. And I think that that's probably the best way to get his offensive development in because, I guess, with the starters, when he's on the floor, he's probably not going to have the ball very much.
Yep.
And his role is going to be much more emphasized on defense. He's going to have a big defensive responsibility, but not a big offensive responsibility. So I totally agree. He's a super fascinating player heading into this year. And yeah, that's just sort of how I see him going into year two.
I was going to say, we also got a question on Twitter about Pat. This is from @jmass_3k. He said, what ways do you think the intro of DeRozan can help Pat's development? And then he also asked if Paul Millsap would be uniquely suited to mentor Pat because of how amazing he used to be as a weak side rim protector, help defender. In terms of the Millsap thing, that obviously makes a ton of sense. Like, I would love to get Millsap as the veteran front court guy. We just talked about him at the top of this. I would totally offer the Bulls still have their biannual exception. I think he wants more money than that, but I would put that on the table for him right now. The Bulls were not mentioned as a team going after him in Jake Fisher's Bleacher Report piece, but I think he would make a ton of sense for the Pat reason, just for general. He's not what he used to be. He's obviously on the decline at 35, 36. I think he's 36 now, but like, they need some veteran, proven veteran guys in the front court. I think he would help on the court. I think he would help with Pat Williams. It'd be a great move, but it doesn't seem like it's in the cards, but I guess we'll see. Like I said, he might be waiting a while before he decides to go where to go. In terms of DeRozan, like helping Pat, like, I guess I'm not totally sure in what way he would necessarily help. Like, obviously DeRozan has been playing a bit more small ball for, I guess, in terms of like that kind of thing, maybe he does help him there. Like, overall with the starting lineup, as you mentioned, like, Pat's just not going to get that many opportunities. It's just as simple as that. I know, like, we like to joke around about Stacey talking about him needing to be more aggressive. Like, I think he needs to at least take advantage of the opportunities that he does get. If he gets open looks, he's got to fire away, whether it's from three, whether he's attacking closeouts, off driving kicks and stuff like that, whether it's in transition. We know he can be aggressive attacking the offensive glass when shots go up. He's just got to be as aggressive as he can be in that role, even though it's going to be smaller usage. And then, yeah, you took the point right out of my mouth about the bench stuff. Like, if it's like him and like whatever, like Vucevic out there, or like him or whatever, him and DeRozan out there with second units, or if it's him and Lonzo out there with second units, or him and Kobe out there with second units, whatever. However Billy chooses to stagger these rotations, I'd love to see him at least get a little bit extra opportunity there with that kind of stuff. But otherwise, he's just got to be ready. In terms of leveling up, like, I don't think we're going to see like a huge level up this season from him, but he can at least be ready, be aggressive, take advantage of the opportunities that he does get. And then the defensive stuff, he's going to have to definitely be a defensive player to help this team. The Bulls did bring in some defensive guys with Lonzo, with Caruso, but I mean, Zach and Vooch, DeRozan aren't exactly defensive savants, so they're definitely going to need Pat in that starting lineup to be a guy who can be a defensive stopper.
Thank you for that question, Rio. Appreciate that, man.
With a comment here from Uncle Stanley McGoober. He asked if there's anything, do you think Pat ends up out of the starting lineup? I feel like I'd be kind of surprised unless it goes like really bad. I mean, the Bulls do have this really hard stretch at the start of the year. Like, if things go south, like, maybe they would do – I guess it could also depend on, like, who is also on the roster. Like, I mean, would they, like – would they bench Pat and play small with DeRozan starting at the four? I mean, that is what the Spurs did, right? Were they starting him at the four, like, all of last year?
Yeah, they were. And my two cents on this question is I could totally see it happening in the playoffs. Like, in the playoffs, move Crusoe into the starting lineup or Kobe – take Pat off the floor with the starters. So I can see that happening in the postseason just as teams sort of feel each other out over the course of a 7-game series. In the regular season, I guess I'd be surprised just because he started every game last year. But as mentioned in the question, like, the Bulls are trying to win this year at a high level. They're fighting for seeding and stuff. So I think it's more about, like, is Pat closing games than is Pat starting games?
Yeah.
I would think they're probably going to start him, but I bet they don't close with him. And that's really what's more important. And, you know, we'll see how long, if he, you know, does remain the starter, we'll see how long his shift is. Like, is he starting for like 6 minutes and coming off the floor? Are they playing DeRozan at the four a lot because, you know, they are so thin in on that area of the roster? So it'll be interesting. But, yeah, I would expect Pat to start. I don't know if he's going to finish. I'd be surprised to be finished.
So one comment we got from, this is from @Thomas under Manfredi, something like that. He threw out a lineup, jokingly referencing the Happens Five, obviously the Warriors lineup, of Pat at the five, DeRozan at the four, Lonzo at the three, Zach at the two, and Kobe at the one, joking about the new Happens Five. Do you think Pat can play some five and they go like super, super small at times, especially again with this kind of the thin nature of their front court? We'll see how Tony Bradley does. We'll see how Marco does. Would you think about giving Pat any minutes at the five?
Oh, hell yeah. Definitely. I'm super excited for those lineups. Hopefully Donovan does it. I think that's where Pat could potentially be, you know, really interesting. This is a small ball five. Now, the one thing that holds him back a bit is his length. Like, I think his wingspan is like a shade under 7 foot, which, like, ideally, even if you're going to be, like, a nominal wing who's sliding up to the five, you want a guy who's, like, 7'2 wingspan probably at least. So he's not going to have great length. He's going to need to prove that he can, you know, protect the rim. But what Pat's really good at, I think, is absorbing contact, like, drives into his body. You can't move that guy off his spot. He's built like a brick shithouse. So I would like to see them go with that lineup, gas up the pace. Like, obviously you want Lonzo on the floor too, if Pat's at the five, because you're going to want like quick hit ahead passes in transition to get easy offense. Defensively, I think that could be like super switchy. Obviously it's going to be tough to have DeRozan on the floor with Zach and with Pat at the five. So, you know, maybe that's something where DeRozan's off the floor and you're going with, I don't know, Troy Brown, or hopefully you can like, Maxey would be perfect in this situation, honestly, if they can somehow get him from Dallas. But yeah, I want to see some Pat at the five. You know, that's like your change up, right? Like, part of the regular season, and I get that the Bulls are using this regular season to win every game possible, in that like wins and losses during this regular season are going to be super important. But also part of the regular season is about like building your team up for the playoffs. And I feel like that's a really good change of pace look to have in the postseason. The Clippers in particular last year played so many minutes without Zubac on the floor, and they had no traditional center in his place. So that is part of Pat's appeal as a big wing. Like, maybe he can side up to the five a little bit. Let's see it this year. I'd like to see it in small doses.
Yeah, and I think in terms of the lineup, he suggested he had Kobe at the one. I feel like in this kind of case, you probably have Caruso at the one. Maybe Kobe if he's really on fire or something. But you have, they can obviously mix and match a lot in the backcourt with all those guys that they have. Talking about the defense, we did get a question about the defense overall. It's from @RafFoShow. Everyone was freaking about the defense. Obviously, the roster isn't finished. As it stands now, is the Bulls' current roster really a step back on D with at least two incoming plus defenders like Ball and Caruso? And a lot of people do forget, including myself, that the Bulls almost finished in the top 10 in defensive rating last year. I think they finished like 12th or something like that, even though like it felt like the Bulls were not a good defensive team last year. I feel like they started really poorly, and then like over the course of the year, they kind of snuck up and were like okay. Like, I definitely would not call them a good defensive team, mediocre at best, but like they definitely weren't like a total dumpster fire. So they were okay. Are you worried about the defense? Obviously, DeRozan has his defensive questions. We know about Zach. Vooch is like an rim protector, but like he's an acceptable, like, okay drop defender. And, like, the drop defense this day and age is, like, obviously certain guys can absolutely roast it. But, like, he is a positionally solid defender. How worried are you about the defense? Do you think they can be borderline top 10 again?
I'm going to say I'll let you take this one. Like, you can answer your own question on that. I don't think they can be borderline top 10. I'd be fucking shocked if they're borderline top 10 defensively. And if that's the case, like, give Billy Donovan some Coach of the Year consideration, because you have guys, three guys in the starting lineup, pillars of the starting lineup, who have poor defensive reputations. I agree with you that Vooch is sound positionally, and he is a little better than his reputation. But he's also getting old. He's 31. Yep. And, like, you know, when you're decent defensively at your peak athleticism, what about when you start to fall off a little bit? So maybe, you know, his play will dip on that end, and then his play will match his reputation finally. So, dude, if I would lock in, like, give me number 18 defensively right now. I feel like I would like to lock that in. Maybe that's a little bit of a conservative estimate on my part, but I definitely think there's some potential for the Bulls to be in the bottom 10 defensively. That would be really bad for them. If they're in the top 10 defensively, I'd be really surprised. But what do you
I would be surprised by top 10. I think they can finish around kind of league average again. I mean, if Caruso, we'll see how much Caruso plays. He could point of attack defense. He could have a huge impact there. I mean, he's, according to, like, some metrics, like, he is one of the better point of attack defenses or defenders in the entire league. And Lonzo thing is kind of interesting, because, like, he definitely has a rep as an upgrade defensively. And I would suggest that he probably is. But, like, I know, like, watching, like, the Bulls play the Pelicans last year and watching some other Pelicans games, like, I mean, they were just getting, I mean, the Bulls roasted them multiple times. And, like, they were getting roasted, like, a lot. Like, I wonder how much that was Lonzo, how much, I know Zion's not a great defender, how much that was, like, them, like, just not believing in Stan Van Gundy. Obviously, he was fired after one season. So, like, theoretically, Lonzo and Caruso, I feel like, should help. But overall, in the rot, it does seem like, and we'll see, like, how much Troy Brown plays. Like, he showed some nice stuff defensively. So, like, I think there's at least enough in place where they could possibly be league average. I'd be surprised if they were absolutely terrible. I would also be surprised if they were any good. So this is me, I guess, giving, like, a total cop-out to say I think they could be very average once again, which if their offense can be as good as we think it can be, like, maybe a top 10 offense, I think they'd probably have to be a top 10 offense if they're actually going to be as good as we think we'd like to think they can be, because I don't think their defense is going to go winning them games. But if they can be mediocre defensively and have a borderline elite or elite offense, I mean, that can get you to the, whatever, 45 to 50 wins that we put out on the schedule, on our game-by-game schedule that we came up with, or predictions, yeah, that we came up with.
Give me, like, the number 8 offense and the number 16 defense, and that'd probably be a pretty good team, right? Like, yeah, you got to get, you know, part of it is, like, hopefully other teams miss shots. Like, that was something they talked about with the Knicks all year last year, is, like, opponents could not hit shots against the Knicks. Now, was that because of the Knicks scheme? Was it fluky? I think it was probably a little bit a combination of both. Like, the Knicks probably did get some good luck, but also it's Tibbs. Tibbs builds a great defense every year. Like, it's not really smoke and mirrors, because it's something he's consistently done throughout the course of his career. But I do think, like, teams having tough shooting nights, or, like, catching teams on a bad night for them is critical. And yeah, man, the more I think about this, like, every game is just going to feel so important as the Bulls try to compete to get in the playoffs and get out of the play-in.
Yeah, I love it. Let's move on to the next question. Let's talk about Kobe here. We've kind of brought him up a few times, and obviously he's been rehabbing from the shoulder injury. Again, Casey brought up how he'll probably be out till, like, November, December, so he'll probably miss the start of the regular season. But this is from @jog89. When he's back from injury, what is slash should be Kobe's role on this team? If he hits on some of his high-end potential outcomes, how much does that change the Bulls' place in the East? It is such a hard question to answer, just because he is missing this entire summer. Just a huge setback, and we've talked about this, like, how just, like, stopping his ability to just, like, put on strength and just, like, work on some of that part of his, just his body and his game and stuff like that. So, like, I feel like my expectations for Kobe White are not high this season, just because he is going to miss this time with the rehab, and then missing part of the season as well. Like, I think he slides in, could be a really nice bench guy next to Caruso. That's a nice, like, kind of just, like, mix and match duo there, where you got Kobe as a gunner, you have Caruso as a defensive energy guy. So, like, I'm expecting Kobe White to be a 6th, 7th man gunner off the bench. I do not really expect, like, a high-end outcome from him. Like, I don't think he's going to, like, be making or breaking the Bulls. I mean, I guess maybe he does. Maybe if he is, like, actually decent, maybe that would help the Bulls push the Bulls up a tier. But I'm not expecting definitely, like, a high-end outcome for him this season, at least. Maybe he has a nice season. He can use that as a springboard to year four. But it is, again, we've mentioned this multiple times. Just a huge fucking bummer for Coby White and the shoulder injury. Just a major setback. And that's obviously why they went out and obviously made some big additions in the backcourt.
Yeah, I would be really able to talk myself into Coby having a big year if he didn't have the injury. And like you said, I think like not having this offseason to improve his body and improve his skill set is a huge bummer. There's no other way to put it. Now, it's not like it's going to end his season. He should be back like within the first month. I would think that would be like a conservative estimate for him coming back. He's going to have to play his way into shape. He's going to have to continue to strengthen his shoulder. But like for the stretch run of the year or into the playoffs, hopefully he could be someone who can give him a little bit of, you know, extra life offensively. And I think like his ideal role, if you like sort of factor out the injury stuff, is he's in a really nice spot to have a role that plays to his strengths on this. Yeah. Like DeRozan, Vucevic, and Zach are going to command a lot of defensive attention. Lonzo is always going to be looking for him, or, you know, a player like him who can shoot both in the half court and in transition. And I feel like he could really be set up for success. I think like if you look at Kobe's former UNC teammate, Cam Johnson was someone who like when he was taken in the lottery, it was like insane, right? Like Coby had the instant classic reaction.
Wow,
bro. Can't believe that. Because no one anticipated that he would get taken that high. But that ended up being a wonderful draft pick because he found a good team where he could play a narrow role and just sort of do his thing on a team that like, you know, accentuates what he does well and covers up what he does poorly. I'm hoping the Bulls have that kind of infrastructure now to help Coby pop in a similar way. Just like having one or two big games in the playoffs, like that could really raise Kobe's national profile and be super good for both the Bulls and him. Like, I think he could help himself a lot as he gets ready to negotiate a second contract. Maybe he could up his trade value if the Bulls want to flip him. Maybe the Bulls love having him around as, you know, an added offensive spark plug off the bench, and he can be someone who you want to keep here long term. So, yeah, I really think that the role Kobe's going to have this year, he's going to be far better suited for than the one he had going into last year when he was expected to sort of play as the point guard, starting point guard. So the injury is a huge bummer. I'm hoping that at least like post All-Star break, he can get comfortable and get stronger and be ready to give the Bulls some added value off the bench, because I think there is a chance that, you know, he could be in for a pretty good situation given how the roster has been remade over the summer.
Yeah, so, like, last year, I think I got super down on Coby, just the point guard stuff. Like, there was a point, like, before he started to play a little better at the end of the season, like, where he was just, like, awful. He was unplayable, clearly just, like, no confidence, totally unsure of himself. And I was super down on him. I was like, I'm done with this guy. Like, go trade him as soon as you can. And, like, I feel like watching the playoffs, I started, like, talking myself back into the idea of him just because of the way that he can just get up shots, that he can get buckets. And you mentioned, like, maybe he does have the Bulls go in the playoffs, and maybe he has a game where he comes off the bench and goes for 25, 30 points and, like, helps them win. Because his ability and his skill to be able to get up shots like that is very useful. Like I said, it's another situation where we just have to, I feel like, adjust the expectations for him. Like I can't expect him to be turned into Jamal Murray, but if he can be a more consistent, just whatever, microwave guy off the bench, that is a helpful role on a team trying to win now. The point guard stuff, he is still young. Maybe he can get better at that. My expectations just aren't that anymore, but he can still help this team, and I've talked myself into him a bit more. So, like you said, hopefully he does come back relatively early. Sounds like he'll miss some time, like I said, and that he can play an important role. Otherwise, at the very least, he can help his trade value. Maybe they trade him to get a more proven piece for either this year or for down the road. So we will see. It'll be interesting to see how he does perform, especially with all these other guys here on this roster now. Let's move on. We got a couple more questions here before we wrap up. This is from Ethan McDougal at McDougie1. He says, I know it might be tough to say without a game being played, but say you're in a 7-game series against the Bulls in the first round. What do you do to give your team the best chance of winning, and how would the Bulls counter? in this situation. So I guess if you're another team, Ricky, how would you be attacking this Bulls roster to beat them? And how would the Bulls counter, and how would they like, or how would they hit back was the question, basically.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know. It's a great question. And just trying to like talk it out, like, I guess what you want to do is try to burn Zach and DeRozan off the ball. Like, I feel like both of those guys can lose their focus away from their man. And so you probably want to try to, like, get some easy cuts to the basket where Vucevic isn't quick enough to rotate over. And, yeah, like, you just want to, like, burn them backdoor, I think, is probably your best bet. And then otherwise, like, you're just probably going to target DeRozan, I think. Like, Zach won't be the weakest defender on the floor when he shares the court with DeRozan. At least that's DeRozan's reputation. I can't sit here and confidently say that, like, DeRozan is definitely an absolute fucking train wreck on defense because I haven't, you know, just watched enough of him in San Antonio, but that's certainly his reputation. So we'll see. I think that DeRozan's going to be the weakest link defensively. And yeah, I worry more about those guys off the ball and like being attentive off the ball than guarding the ball. But that's where Lonzo's really good too, right? Like Lonzo can be that free safety style defender where he can like swoop in and like force a turnover, get his hand on a pass, get a deflection. So that's probably what I would be looking at if I'm another team attacking the Bulls. And then was there a second part of that question offensively?
Like, how would the Bulls counter, like, slash how would they attack other teams? And I feel like, I mean, the Bulls should probably run, play a lot faster. Like I said, I would probably hammer a lot of PNR, Zach and Vooch, DeRozan and Vooch, that kind of stuff. How would you attack? As I guess, what is your like ideal Bulls? I mean, we talked about a lot of ball movement. We don't want a lot of ice. Zach and DeRozan are both very good ISO players. So like in the playoffs, when games slow down, like I think there will be times where the Bulls rely on Zach and DeRozan ISOs. They were two of the better ISO players in the league. But in general, I feel like you are hoping for, you're like hammering PNR because you have a lot of dudes that can do it. You got a lot of shooting around these guys. I mean, that just seems like a no brainer to me, right?
Yeah. My big thing is like, you don't want the ball sticking this year. You don't want it, you know, devolving into DeRozan going one-on-one. We've seen what happens when Zach does that. So I think you just want the ball moving. But obviously, like the vast majority of NBA offense is based around spreading it out in the pick and roll. And when the Bulls initiate with DeRozan in the half court, they're going to have four shooting threats around the arc. DeRozan's never had that in his career. LaVine's never had another teammate who can run the pick and roll as skillfully as DeRozan can. I would love to see Zach totally level up as an off-ball scoring threat, running off screens, getting him involved with dribble handoffs, just like using different motions to distract the defense. Stephen No highlighted Hawk action in a great piece he wrote to Substack. Make sure to check that out. Send Stephen a few bucks on his Venmo too, so he keeps writing about the Bulls selfishly because I enjoy writing. And yeah, I think like, as long as the ball's not sticking, that's going to be the Bulls' key point offensively. And if you're talking about a series, I think, yeah, gas the pace up, man. I love the idea of gassing the pace up. We already talked about maybe using Pat a little bit as a small ball five. To me, that's something you should experiment with a little bit in the regular season so that if you get in a series, hopefully, you have that at your disposal in the right matchup, or if you want to try to tilt the matchup in your favor. Yeah, great question, but that's just...
Yeah, comment from Michael says, feel like we should get used to some ISO early in the season while these guys develop chemistry. I think that makes a lot of sense with all these new guys working to sacrifice, working, feeling each other out. It would not surprise me if there are some early struggles, especially with that schedule, as they try to figure out the hierarchy and roles and all that kind of stuff. And maybe we see some your turn, my turn type stuff going on. I think John Schumann actually wrote about that in his power rankings about to see how that they work all that kind of stuff out. It'll be interesting to see again. Billy Donovan, how he meshes this team together, how these guys just mesh together themselves. It'll be nice to have a more normal offseason and training camp to work it out. But yeah, especially with these tough games to start the season after that for the first like, couple weeks, there will probably be some growing pains. There will probably be some losses, and we'll just have to see how that goes. So it'll be definitely very interesting to see. Last question here, and while the Bulls are now interesting again, and it is fun to talk about them being interesting, and we don't like to look back too much anymore about the past. I did like this question from Kyle McMahon at Kyle34B. He said, not sure if you guys watched What If, that's the Marvel show and Disney Plus, but you should look back and do a What If AK was hired before Jimmy was traded. Look back at superstars moving teams and discuss what moves the Bulls and what moves the Bulls could have made instead of trading Jimmy, how they could have built an actual good roster around Jimmy Butler. I feel like if we're looking at that, the obvious things are the Bulls go get Kyle Lowry. Apparently, I mean, Kyle Lowry is now in the Heat. Apparently, Kyle Lowry and Jimmy are like real tight. I know there were like Kyrie Irving rumors out there about him and like him and Jimmy wanting to play together. I can't remember exactly where those were from, but I feel like those are the two guys off the top of my head. But looking back, Ricky, how if AK was like more aggressive instead of the three alphas, AK says, all right, we got Jimmy Butler. How are we building this team around Jimmy Butler? What would you have done, or what do you think he would have done instead?
Yeah, well, if he follows this pattern, he would have traded all his draft picks, and the Bulls never would have gotten a chance to select Denzel Valentine or Bobby Portis or Tony Snell or all these guys Garpax whiffed on, Chandler Hutchison. So, I mean, that would have been sick, right? That's something I've been talking about for a while since the trade deadline, is that they should have went all in like this around Jimmy. And Zach is awesome. It's great that they're doing this around Zach, but Zach is not as good as Jimmy. Not yet. I don't really think he's ever going to be, and that's not really a diss at Zach, but Jimmy's just that guy. Like, Jimmy's awesome. I think he's one of the most underrated players in this generation of the league. So, yeah, I mean, go get Kyrie, right? Like, he got traded to Boston during that era. So many guys switch teams. Like, Kawhi switched teams, too. Do you go get Kawhi with Jimmy? Kawhi apparently wanted to play with Jimmy.
Yeah, that's right.
He was with the Clippers, and he was starting to recruit his next superstar teammate. So, yeah, I'm going to say give me Kawhi and Kyrie.
There you go.
Jimmy, and Bulls are going to win championships number 7 and 8. So I'm just going to throw that out there, Jason.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, the Kawhi, I didn't even think about the Kawhi thing. Yeah, I mean, that would have been like, oh, was that 2018? So, like, if you keep – and obviously it was a little after. But, yeah, I mean, either way, like, those couple of years, like, Jimmy didn't want to get traded. Instead of doing the three alphas nonsense and then trading him away, like, there definitely would have been years and some assets to – I mean, the Bulls, like, if there was at least one thing that I guess Garpax did do well, they like believed so much in their picks and like build it, whatever. And like, they didn't really trade anything away. So like, they would have had all their picks to make like Godfather trade offers and all that kind of stuff. So they definitely would have been able to go out and like put together at least decent offers for superstars like that. So it definitely would have, definitely had something I've thought about as well. Like I said, I don't like to look back as much anymore. We've done our share of complaining about the Bulls trading Jimmy. It's great that they got Zach. Zach definitely is become maybe what 25. I know Seth Partnow recently did his like player tiers, and I think Zach was in like the 30th, basically like top. I would say Zach's like a top 30-ish, top 25 player at this point. Maybe he is able to take another leap. Jimmy at his best has definitely been like a top 10-ish guy. So Zach's just a tier below, but it's great that we got Zach out of this trade, basically saving it, because Lowry's basically a goner, or he's back. He's not a long-term future guy. Chris Dunn is gone. Wendell Carter's gone from basically tanking that year, even though they blew that tank. So, like, Zach is, like, the last hope from that Jimmy trade. And he's been awesome. Thank God that he did. They got Zach instead of Andrew Wiggins, because I feel like that was – talked about whether the Bulls would get like Wiggins or Zach in that Jimmy trade. So thank God that they did get Zach, but it is still kind of fun to think about what they could have done if they did have a better front office around Jimmy Butler. But what's past is the past. The Bulls are an interesting team again. Thank you to everybody that asked all these questions and that participated. We are going to wrap up here. We've been going for almost an hour, but awesome talking about the Bulls, especially, I mean, during this time, we got like nothing to talk about. It's great hearing your questions and still having some interesting stuff to talk about this dead part of the season. We will see. Again, we're still waiting on the Lowry stuff. I feel like I've been saying that at the end of every podcast for the last couple weeks. We're still waiting to see what happens with Lowry Markin and the rest of this roster. Training camp. When is training camp open? Is that end of September? Beginning of October? The season starts on October 19th.
Yeah.
Training camp probably starts like a month or a month and a half. So not too much time left to fill out the roster and work out this Lowry stuff, but there is still a few weeks. So we'll see what happens. I would hope that it gets sorted out soon, but we'll see how that goes. Again, thank you everybody for participating in all these questions. Shout out, as always, to the Blue Wire Network. This podcast should be up on our feed later. Again, hopefully this works. The last Green Room one did. Hopefully this one works as well. I think hopefully all those issues have been sorted out. So again, this should be in our podcast feed later. Please, for our sake, please rate and review us wherever you listen to your podcast. Give us those 5-star ratings on Apple. That really helps us out. Let us know how we're doing. Give us the feedback. You can hit us up on Twitter. You know where to find us on Twitter. I'm at @Bulls_J. Ricky is at @SVN_Ricky. So we will talk to you guys next time. Hopefully we got some new stuff to talk about. Otherwise, during this dead month, we're probably going to try to bring out some guests. Maybe we'll get some guys to talk about Lonzo. We'll see the tampering investigation. Hopefully when that gets wrapped up, we can talk about that and all that kind of stuff. So we'll see what happens with that, all that stuff. We'll talk to you guys next time, guys. Take it easy.